Hi guys, welcome back to O Jogo Bonito Extra with our midweek episode where we outline our match day 3 predictions. Welcome, Mr. Ferguson.
Hello, Jacob. I'm pleased to see you once again.
After an eventful match day 2, we are now here in the midst of our match day 3 predictions. This has been recorded at the time of 10 a.m. before match day 3 starts. So let's kick us off, Mr. Ferguson. That was a bit of in the wrong order, but we'll take that. With Ecuador-Senegal, please.
Ecuador-Senegal. I think Group A has been such a tough one to actually sort of really understand where all the teams are at in that group, because Qatar have been, frankly, pretty dreadful. The Netherlands, I don't think, have actually played particularly well. Ecuador have almost been the most impressive team in that group for me. I think they've got more than Senegal in this match. So I've got them down as a 2-0 for this.
I've gone the reverse. I've gone 2-1 Senegal. I just think that Senegal have more quality than Ecuador in both midfield, in attack, and at the back.
Which Senegal match did I watch? Because I have seen them in something. I watched the first half of their match against Qatar from match day 2, and I really didn't think much of them. And I've been caught out from only watching half of matches, obviously from the Wales-USA game in match day 1, where Wales were appalling in the first half, but then they didn't play much better in match day 2 either, to be honest. So I've been caught up by that before, but what I've seen of them, I don't have any great faith that they're going to pull anything out of the hat here.
No, I think, I'll be honest, I think the Senegal side, Aliou Cisse has got them set up in a way that they know how to win games. They've won the AFCON, and I think even individually their quality will shine through, in my opinion. Netherlands, Qatar. I've gone 2-1 to the Netherlands. I don't think they're going to be scoring many goals. It's Louis van Gaal as their manager after all. And as United fans, we know that Louis van Gaal teams don't win games 3-4, 5-1.
So. Well, you say that, but actually, if you follow the Manchester United subreddit, recently they posted a comparison of all of the league stats post to Alex Ferguson, and I think Van Gaal's was most or the second highest scoring team out of all of those seasons. I do think they've got goals in them. My predictions window has just crashed at the moment, but I can tell you that I've got Netherlands down to win this 6-1. I think Qatar have been that bad, and the only reason I went for a 1 was because I made this prediction before match day 2 started and Qatar hadn't yet scored a goal in the World Cup. I think now that they have scored, I'm not sure they'll even get 1 against the Netherlands. But I'm not. That's not to say I'm impressed by them. I don't think the Netherlands have been that great. I just think Qatar are really not on a level where they can compete at a World Cup at all.
No, I think I agree. Qatar hosting a World Cup obviously has been come with its controversies, but so far it's not been a bad World Cup. I know it's a mid-season World Cup, but people seem to be loving the 4 games in a day. So,
well, that is nice. Although I will also point out that we've had quite a lot of nil-nils in this tournament.
Very true.
I think this is the most nil-nils that we've had. It's not quite yet. But I think we've had 5 already, and the most in a tournament ever is 7.
Wow. That's something hopefully that the World Cup will stop producing, those nil-nils.
I don't think I'm just trying to pull my predictions back up again. I don't think I've got any of them this week, so I've got my fingers crossed.
I've got 1-0-0, by the way.
You do, I can see it now, yeah.
But moving on to tonight's game, Wales against England. I've gone for a 3-1 English victory. I've been burned by England in this tournament. I predicted Iran to win. That didn't happen. I predicted a draw correctly last week.
You did, yeah.
I predicted a score draw rather than a 0-0. But
what an awful game it was. It was so bad. And this is the thing about England these days, is that...
And actually, I'm going to change my prediction. Rather than going 3-1, I'm going to go 2-1 England.
Yeah, that is very sensible, I think. But Group B, I think, comes alive tonight. The Wales-USA game, actually, was pretty good. And the England-Iran game in match day one as well was good from an English perspective, at least. Although even then, there were periods in that game where I wasn't impressed by England. But tonight is where... And I know this is a football podcast and not a history and politics podcast, but this is the really interesting match day. You've got Wales versus England, which is a local derby in international terms, with the underdog Wales trying to take down the country whose shadow they can't ever seem to escape from. I think Wales will come out firing, especially because they've put in such torrid performances so far. I think they're going to force England to play more positive football. And for that reason, I've got this down as a 2-2 draw.
Wow. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a draw. I just wouldn't back Wales based upon their performances. I think Kiefer Moore has to start for Wales to have a
But I think
chance.
I think a lot more of the Wales players will be motivated now. Yes, they're out, and they'll obviously be distraught about that because they honestly didn't have a terrible chance of getting out of this group. I think I actually had them down to get out of Group B at one point.
Episode 2, check it out.
I think we did say that at some point. But they haven't managed that. In fact, they've been pretty woeful. This is their chance to get some national pride back against England, of all people. I think if this doesn't produce performance, you might as well sack the whole squad.
Wow. I'm not surprised if Wales do come out firing. I just think England have more quality. And as the Brazil-Switzerland game showed last night, quality pace.
Mm.
What absolute wonder strike from Casemiro from his outside of the right foot. Thank God. And I think Neymar tweeted that Casemiro is the best defensive midfielder in the world, which is, I'd agree with. And most people mistranslated volant to mean midfielder, but volant means it's defensive kind of midfielder for all our Portuguese speakers and listeners. Moving on to Iran-USA, the sanctions derby, I'll call it.
Well, Ferguson. I mean, this is the other half of the history group. What a fascinating match this is going to be. I actually almost think the pre-match is going to be more fascinating than the actual match, although I do have goals predicted in this one. But there's so much strange stuff going on in this match. Obviously, there's the history between the US and Iran, where they cut diplomatic ties in 1980. They haven't been on speaking terms for over 40 years now. But you also have the strange situation where the Iran footballers, in the first match day, didn't sing their national anthem. They didn't celebrate any of their goals against England, like they hadn't done throughout the whole World Cup qualifying process in an apparent protest against their government. But then they did sing the national anthem and they did celebrate their goals last match day. For whatever reason that might be, I wouldn't want to speculate on this podcast because it's not the right place for it. So I'll be really interested to see what happens. There's a good chance. There's a lot of discontent in the Iran supporters towards the national team. We may see a bizarre situation where the USA get cheered by the Iran supporters.
It's really strange.
And that's the pre-match. In terms of the football, I think this is going to be wild, honestly. I've got a 3-2 away win for the US. They're all away wins here.
Yeah.
A 3-2 win for the US.
I've got a 2-1 victory for the US. I can see an alternative universe. Maybe we're living in it. But where Iran do win and go through. But I think, again, the US
so
have quality.
If Iran win, they go... they will go through, won't they? Because
yeah,
they'll be on 6 points. Yeah.
And if England draw and Iran win, Iran topped the group. Who would have thought?
I don't think that's a million miles away, to be honest.
But I think the US are on 2 points, and if the US win and England draw, England would still be top of the group.
Mm.
But very, very interesting game. Obviously, the games are now not at 10 a.m. anymore.
No, they're not.
The first two match days, done. Now we've got 3 p.m., two 3 p.m. games, I believe,
and two 7 p.m.s. I've got to say, I'm actually slightly grateful for this because I think because it's fallen in the middle of the football season, I was already starting to feel the burnout this week. There's quite a lot of fixtures I actually could have watched or watched all of, and I just couldn't bring myself to. There's been so much football.
I completely agree, and unfortunately I have turned into the tokenistic fan who watches those 2-3 minute highlights. But I do plan at some point to go back and watch full 90s and just analyze the game for myself. So ultimately, I'll kick us off with Tunisia. Well, I say kick us off with, but the other group, Tunisia, France. I've gone for a 4-1 French victory. I think Kylian Mbappe will continue saving my fantasy World Cup. I think Ousmane Dembele has been really, really good this World Cup. I've been really impressed. I also think that Antoine Griezmann is playing more as a defensive-minded midfielder these days, which so, is...
You said Ousmane Dembele, and I nearly perked up with, oh, hasn't he just signed a contract with Arsenal? And then I remembered, no, that was in your FIFA game last night.
unfortunately, Ousmane Dembele hasn't lived up to his potential as of yet, but he did sign a deal with Barcelona last summer, which has a £43 million release clause for this summer, so possibly putting himself in the shop window.
It's not a bad price, to be honest. Yeah, you're right, he hasn't lived up to his potential because he really, you know, I don't think he'd quite be on a Neymar level, but I don't think he's too far off if he actually fulfills his potential. But something just hasn't clicked for him. Maybe it's that Barcelona team, because they don't seem to bring the best out of a lot of players.
He's a firm starter, though. I think he gets in ahead of Rafinha. Dembele's been really good. Last season, he played 15 games. He had the most assists in La Liga. He got 13 assists. So we've now fundamentally seen Ousmane Dembele as a creator. And I think in a side where you've got Giroud and Mbappe, Ousmane Dembele being a natural winger, being two-footed, is crucial, because the last World Cup you had Mbappe on the right and you had Blaise Matuidi sort of playing a shuffling inside left role, which almost was a 4-3-3 at times. And Ousmane Dembele adds an extra dimension. Obviously, Tchouaméni, I've been really impressed with it all season. I think he's absolutely brilliant. One of the best in his position, no doubt.
No, he's fantastic.
So consistent. And if you check out the Athletic article on him, where he talks about his dad and his influences, he seems like a very level-headed individual as well. So on and off the pitch, just an absolute wonderful, wonderful player.
Yeah.
Your France-Tunisia prediction?
Mine is 4-0 to France. I'm not picking Tunisia to win this one because I haven't been very impressed with them. Actually, I don't think they've been the worst team in this tournament, but I don't think they've really got any quality to trouble France.
No, I agree.
I mean, France are just, they're too good. Actually, I sit here and I wonder why we kind of all didn't really consider them as potential World Cup winners.
The World Cup curse, that's what we were thinking
about. Yeah.
They've broken it. They've qualified. So, well done to the French. Australia-Denmark, Mr. Ferguson.
Yes, Australia-Denmark. You had a 4-1 for France-Tunisia.
Yes.
Yeah. I couldn't remember if you'd said it or not. Australia-Denmark, I'm really disappointed by both of these teams, to be honest, this tournament. A couple of Australia players have had really good tournaments. Aaron Moy, I think, has been great over the... In particular, match day one, I thought was his best game, but he was great last match day as well.
Mitchell Duke.
Mitchell Duke was good. He did score his goal. Who did I also had Harry Suter down. I thought he was absolutely exceptional against Tunisia. Always in the right place to make a clearance or a tackle. He was my man of the match. I think they picked Aaron Moy in the end. I wonder if he's going to get a good transfer out of this World Cup.
I wonder
Cup.
How old he is as well, because I think he's Scottish.
He was born Scottish, yeah. I think he's currently playing for Stoke, yeah.
Harry Suter.
I want to say he's about 29.
24.
In that case, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a good movie this January or this summer. Because he's been really, really good for Australia.
I think a lower mid-table Premier League team would do really well to pick him up.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think, does it give you Harry Maguire vibes, perhaps?
I can see why you say it. I don't think he progresses as much as Maguire does. And I think he's slightly more mobile than Maguire is. I don't think he's quite such a presence from attacking set pieces, but defensive set pieces, he's exceptional. He's someone who I could see being in the Maguire mould, but I think he suits a slightly more progressive team than Harry Maguire does.
So would you say maybe a possible Aston Villa type signing, maybe a Leicester City signing, something along those lines?
I wonder if the first name that popped into my head, and I don't think they're quite right, but Everton might quite benefit from him.
I think they'll get Harry Maguire this summer, if I'm being honest. I think Harry Maguire at United.
This summer?
Yeah, I think Harry Maguire's going to leave.
You think they'll be around in the Premier League that long?
I think Harry Maguire's going to leave Man United this summer.
I do think Maguire's going to leave.
I think he's going to go. Well, Everton also have Tarkowski and Cody, and Cody's going to be permanent. So a little bit of transfer news integrated in there.
Yeah.
What's your prediction for Australia-Denmark?
My prediction is 1-0 Denmark. Like, I haven't been impressed really by either of these teams, and I don't think this is going to be a great match. I just think Denmark have got enough to scrape it.
I'm going 1-1. Did a 0-0 cross my mind? Yes, but I've got a 0-0 coming on later. I agree with everything you've said. I think Denmark look a particularly ageing side.
And it's a shame because we were so excited about them before the first match day.
I think we were biased from the Euros when Mikkel Damsgaard, now of Brentford, sort of shone through. Now he's not really getting much game time at Brentford. Poulsen is older. Eriksen is older.
I've really been expecting more from Eriksen this tournament. It's just not quite clicked. Maybe it's just because he's played so much over the last couple of months.
I also think that, again, age is catching up with these players, and Eriksen now has more of an understated role at Man United. Obviously, he's the progressor from defence to midfield rather than being the link between midfield and attack like he was in years gone by. I'm going to kick us off with the Saudi Arabia-Mexico prediction. I've got a 2-1 down here to Mexico. But I'm almost tempted to go for a draw, but I'm going to stick 2-1 Mexico. I think Mexico just have better, more quality than Saudi Arabia. I'm not being impressed by Mexico at all, actually. Actually, do you know what? Let's go bold.
Oh, he's going bold.
I'm going to go 1-1 Saudi-Mexico.
Okay.
I did back Saudi to beat Poland. That didn't happen. But I've been really, I think Mexico were in the bottom third of teams in this World Cup. I think they've not been impressed by Tata Martino at all and his players. I think against Argentina, they didn't really offer much.
But then again, Argentina didn't really offer much.
Yeah, exactly. until, obviously, Messi stepped up and then Enzo Fernandez, who I think will be a Jude Bellingham backup target for whichever club doesn't get Jude Bellingham. With this lovely double step over and then curling shot.
I think you even called that last episode when we were talking about Bellingham as well.
I think, Enzo Fernandez, just Benfica not going to keep hold of him again for more than a year, but they're going to turn a handsome profit, I believe. So let's see if that prediction comes to fruition.
But that's Argentina. Saudi Arabia, Mexico. I agreed with your first prediction. We made these informally on emails to each other. You sent yours first, and I did mine before looking at yours. And I also had a 2-1 to Mexico down. And I am going to stick with it. Mexico are obviously the better side. But Saudi Arabia have been playing really well this tournament. They've put in a really, really great performance so far. I don't think they're quite going to have enough now. Now that they've been pegged back by by the Poland match. I think, did I watch the Poland match or did I? No, I didn't watch that one. But I don't think that they're quite going to have the belief to get past Mexico this time.
I think they'll be galvanized by that loss to Poland. And, you know, let's say Argentina beat Poland and then Saudi Arabia draw beat Mexico, Saudi Arabia are through. So,
well, Poland, I suppose that is motivation. What do Mexico need in this circumstance then?
Well, Mexico need a victory against Saudi Arabia and hope that Poland beat Argentina.
Right, okay.
And well, as you'll find out from my predictions, I don't think that's going to happen.
Spoiler alert, I don't either.
Moving on to Poland-Argentina, I've got a 4-1 Argentine victory down. I think this is where their breakout match.
I don't think they've clicked so far this tournament, but I think they will. I think Poland are a really interesting team to play in that they sort of are a big team by virtue of having Lewandowski, as well as other players, but Lewandowski is obviously the standout amongst them. But they don't play well. They really don't play well. I watched them in the first match day and they were pretty bad, if I'm honest. I didn't watch them last match day, but I was keeping up with the text commentary and they didn't look great there either. I think Argentina will turn up this time. You've got 4-1, I've got 3-0.
Simple as that. Croatia-Belgium. What have you got?
Croatia-Belgium, I've got a 1-1. I'm always reticent to write off Belgium because they have got so much quality. I do think this is their last chance at this World Cup to get something meaningful, to try and get that silverware. Have you got Group F up?
I'll bring it up for you.
Because I think Belgium are in a spot of bother when it comes to qualifying here.
Belgium are third. So Croatia on 4 points, Morocco on 4 points. Belgium on 3, Canada are out.
Right, so Canada are out.
So if Croatia draw against Belgium, Morocco need to win and Morocco will top the group.
Mm.
If Morocco draw and Belgium win, Morocco are out. But if Croatia win and Morocco even lose, Morocco are through.
It's difficult to call what's going to happen in that group because actually I think the sides have kind of shown themselves to be on a fairly level playing field.
Very even group.
Yeah.
This is,
and we weren't expecting that coming into it. We were expecting Belgium to be streaks ahead, Croatia to be clear second, probably Canada to be clear third.
I did, quick side note, listeners, I did call Belgium to struggle this World Cup. I did think Canada would be better than they actually were, but it is what it is.
Yeah, but in terms of predictions, I've got a 1-1. Croatia, I think, always do better than I expect, so I wouldn't be surprised if they do something over Belgium here.
I've just changed, as you were, just before we did this, I changed my predictions.
Oh, did you?
I've gone 0-0.
Oh, you've gone 0-0? Ooh. So what prompted that change? Because I made a note of your prediction, and you had 2-1 Croatia before.
I did. I just think this has everything and no has to offer. I think it'll be a midfield stalemate. I think the attacks don't excite me at all. Arguably Croatia haven't taken one of their best players in Čolak from Rangers, who's having an amazing season.
I just think there's too much creative potential for there not to be a goal.
I think Kevin De Bruyne has been very poor this World Cup.
He has, but I think even beyond De Bruyne, you know, you've got Hazard, you've got Lukaku, if he actually manages to get on the pitch for a little while. On Croatia's side, you've got Luka Modric.
But Modric is showing his signs of ageing, and also he's not playing in a Madrid side where he can
no, that's true.
Interlink with Rodrigo, Vinicius, Benzema, He's not got the protection of Tchouaméni. Obviously, he's got Brozovic behind him, but Brozovic is no Tchouaméni.
No.
And he's not got his pal Toni Kroos either. So,
but either way, we don't think this match is going to be all that great.
I don't think so. I changed my Canada-Morocco prediction, which was originally going to be my 0-0.
Mm.
I've gone 1-0 Morocco. I think Morocco will top this group.
Okay. Well.
I think Hakim Ziyech is playing for a January move. From the sounds of things, AC Milan is close. But Hakim Ziyech just... I'm not sure if Hakimi's injured or not. Mazraoui is out. I've been really impressed by Sofyan Amrabat, brother of Nordin Amrabat, for you Watford fans out there. He's also been linked with AC Milan as of recently. He plays for Fiorentina. Really good creative central midfielder. So I think Canada heads may have dropped, although I read an article that Man United would do well to sign Tejan Buchanan. What are your thoughts?
I was just looking through my notes. I haven't actually watched any Canada matches this World Cup. So I must confess I don't really know much about him.
So Buchanan is, just for a little context, Mr. Ferguson, he can play on the left as a left winger, but he can also play right wing back, left wing back, and as a full back. Think of poor man's Alphonso Davies.
Mm.
Attacking fullback. Well, I say poor man's. I don't think he has as much quality on the ball.
I mean, I think
he's a good runner, willing runner, good at crossing.
Compared to prime Alphonso Davies, not much really compares. I don't think it's what United need. I think they have more luck getting a striker in, even if it's as a backup to Martial. Because it means that you've then got Rashford, Sancho, Antony, Elanga, Garnacho, who can all rotate around really both wings.
True. I was thinking Buchanan more of as a right back signing, to be honest.
Is he right footed?
He is.
Okay, that makes a difference to me. In which case, I'm more okay with that signing. I have a big thing about your fullback and your winger being opposite footed. The fullback should be strongest on the foot nearest the touchline, and the winger should be strongest on the foot that's cutting in. For example, on that right side, having Buchanan overlapping on the right, Antony underlapping on the left, because it creates indecision in the defensive mind. Which way are they going to go? Because they're strong both ways now.
And no, I completely agree. I think he plays for Bruges at the moment. He might need another sort of step up move before he gets to United, but he looks like a very promising player. Obviously, United have Ethan Laird as well.
Mm.
Read in the papers today that they're considering recalling Hannibal, Ethan Laird, and Ahmad. I'd only be in favour for Ethan Laird, to be honest. I don't think.
I have seen bits of Ahmad at Rangers.
He's at Sunderland at the moment.
He is at Sunderland. He was at Rangers last season. Yes, I've seen bits of him at Sunderland. You can tell I'm really with it today. And I don't think I think he's actually played quite well for Sunderland. I'm still not convinced he has the physicality for the Premier League, and I think he would only be sixth, seventh choice on the wings at the moment. What have you got? You've got Rashford, Sancho, Elanga, Antony, Garnacho.
I think he's further on the development line than Elanga, I'll be honest. I think Ahmad being left-footed as well would provide very good Antony backup.
Yeah?
I've been impressed with... I think no one doubts his on-the-ball quality. I think Ahmad on the ball is world-class.
I wouldn't be that strong just yet, but I think
world-class
he's good.
Potential. Yeah. World-class potential. The ball sticks to him like a magnet. He's great at coming in field. He's good with both feet. Obviously, he scored that header against AC Milan as well.
And he has started scoring goals as well for Sunderland too.
I think one more season. I think Tony Mowbray is the perfect manager for him at this point in time. I think I would like to see a European loan. I would say the French league would be great for him. If you could get Ahmad at a team like... Maybe Marseille, I'll be honest.
I think wherever he goes, I think he needs to play in a top division now. He's had time in second divisions. The Scottish Premiership is just... There are too many teams in there that don't give you the challenge you need.
I think Ligue 1 would be perfect. I think Marseille, would be a perfect place for him. I think Cengiz Under is impressed. I think Igor Tudor's a good manager. Somewhere in the French league, I'd be very happy to see Amad there, being totally honest. Mm. Or maybe, yeah, French league. I also think La Liga would be... I think French league more for the tackles, because, let's be honest, the French league is arguably, in my opinion, more physical than the Premier League in terms of the tackles. Mm. Not in terms of the intensity of the match, but solely just the tackles. And I think that would help build Amad as a player.
Mm.
Where were we? Oh yeah,
Croatia, I was just thinking
Canada,
that, yeah.
Morocco. I've gone 1-0. What are your thoughts?
I've put on here 2-0 Canada, but I wrote that before match day two. I wrote all of these predictions before match day two, and I'm not changing any of them because this is just an extra episode, and I'm willing to look like a fool on this one. I'm really not confident in that prediction anymore. I do think if Canada gel, they should brush Morocco aside. But I haven't seen any kind of proof that they will so far this World Cup. So I've got 2-0 Canada, and I've got no faith in it.
Costa Rica, Germany. What have you got down?
yeah.
Before Mr. Jennings said Costa Rica was the worst team in the World Cup, they're going to beat Japan. We shouldn't be slamming Mr. Jennings. He's not here to defend himself.
No, he's not. No, it's very uncouth to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
What a stupid prediction that was. No, it's again, I wrote this before Costa Rica beat Japan, but they have been pretty bad most of the tournament.
Yeah.
Even against Japan, I thought they were really, really lucky to get a result out of that, because Japan were... this is one of the matches I watched the first half of. I thought Joel Campbell actually played pretty well for Costa Rica from what I saw of him. But I was actually really impressed with Japan in that first half. I thought that, yes, they didn't quite... Nothing quite happened for them. But they had so much creativity and forwards intent. Even they left out Takefusa Kubo, but Daichi Kamada had a fantastic first half. I thought he was really, really good. For them to lose that game, I thought was a bit harsh on them from what I saw in the first half. Maybe the second half things changed. All this to say, I still don't rate Costa Rica that much. And I think they're going to get absolutely slapped by Germany. I've got 5-0.
I've gone 5-1, actually.
You gone 5-1 now?
Yep. I've stuck to this prediction. I think the way Group E will transpire, that's a good word, is that I think Spain will top it. And I think Germany will sneak through as second place. Because Germany have to win.
Mm.
And hope Japan don't get anything.
If Germany don't beat Costa Rica, what an awful group that will have been for them.
And
losing to Japan and Costa Rica.
And twice in a row not making it out of the group stage. I think they'll make it out this time.
I can't see them losing this.
I'm going to go for Japan, Spain. I've gone 5-2 to Spain. And my rationale is, I think Rodri at centre-back, which I was talking to a friend of mine offline, who's a Man City fan. and he's like, oh, why doesn't Rodri start ahead of Busquets? And I was like, he's going to pick Rodri at centre-back. And lo and behold, he's picked Rodri at centre-back. I think...
Rodri, so you're applying for your coaching badge soon, yeah?
Possibly. Any teams who want a coach, I can start from the grassroots and work myself up. But... I do think Rodri's centre-back provides a better aerial presence than Eric Garcia without losing any of that ball progression or quality. And I think Japan will get a couple of goals. I do see Japan scoring. As you mentioned, Daichi Kamada, who's linked with a move to Benfica in the summer. I think his contract may be up as well. So a very good second striker slash number 10.
Mm.
Possibly if you're a mid-table... Well, not mid-table. I'd say mid-table in the Premier League, but if you're in Ligue 1, for example, if you want to pick up a relatively cheap player, then Daichi Kamada is your man. I'd like to see him in La Liga as well. Why not? But my standout player, my favourite Japanese player, is actually Kubo.
Mm.
I think...
He is bright, yeah. And that's why I was so impressed with Japan, because they left Kubo out of the starting lineup against Costa Rica, and they're still creating so many chances. The commentators were quite harsh on that game, I thought, because they were saying at half time how it really wasn't it wasn't a good game, and that the second half could only get better. And I thought that was actually really harsh on it, because I thought there was a lot to commend in that first half.
I wish the commentators, or actually the pundits, if you could have got, for example, Hidetoshi Nakata on as a pundit, or maybe Shinji Okazaki.
I think is Shinji Kagawa doing punditry somewhere at the moment?
I think he's still
moment?
Playing for, he might be, but he's also playing for Sint-Truiden in Belgium as well. So, and yeah, Joel Campbell, formerly of Arsenal, now playing for León, Club León in Mexico. I was double checking to see if that was the case. And
he was a real bright spark for Costa Rica in that first half. Just quickly on the Japan-Spain game, I've got goals, but I've not got as many as you. I've got 3-1 Spain. I think Spain are too good for this. I think Japan will get something, but I think Spain's defence has more organisation than shipping two goals would give them credit for.
I would be inclined to agree, but I want to see some goals. So.
Entirely fair. A lot of these predictions I've made with the inclination of these predictions are just for an extra episode, so let's have some fun and see what happens.
Exactly. South Korea, Portugal, I've gone 3-2 to the Portuguese.
Yep.
I have got them in my sweepstake as well, so there's something there. Obviously they beat Uruguay last night 2-0. I do think Portugal, I'd like to see Rafael Leao start just for the pure joy that he brings every time he's on the pitch, but I think as an impact role, he's great.
Yeah, he's an impact player. You know, even when he came off the bench, you know, he was still only showing himself in spurts. There was a lot of the time where he was, you know, standing with the ball or just sort of walking with the ball, waiting for something to open up. I think he needs to be an impact player.
Although saying that, Rafael Leao's speed and power, I would say, is reminiscent of some of the best attackers in the world. He has that Rashford, Darwin Nunez-esque build, but I think he's more powerful than either of them without losing any of the speed.
I thought Nunez had a good game actually last night. I thought he was really bright, and I was slightly disappointed he came off, and I'm saying that about a Liverpool player. I actually somewhat enjoyed watching Portugal-Uruguay last night. It was a bit of a bad-tempered game. I think Bentancur was actually quite lucky to stay on the pitch in the first half. The first yellow was absolutely deserved, and he probably should have had a second too. But I think it was helped by just having a great atmosphere. That was the first match, I think, where it felt like there were more fans than delegates and sponsors in the stadium. And they were so passionate as well. I thought Uruguay were generally pretty sluggish in that match until Facundo Pellistri came on. And I'm not just saying that with my Man United hat on. I actually thought he was really, really inventive for them. He was direct. He was challenging people. He was putting good crosses in. He was getting into dangerous positions. And I think it gave Uruguay something to try and hang their hopes on.
I didn't watch the game, but Facundo Pellistri reminds me of an old school winger, a very old school winger. And that's why I've always been hatching the thought experiment that could Facundo Pellistri do a job at right back?
I wouldn't be surprised by that. I'm not sure he's got the physicality to play as a right back. I think he would get I think he would get pushed off the ball too much.
Depends on which league. I think as a La Liga right back, he would be all right. In the Premier League, I'd be inclined to give him a go. I think defensively, the mental attributes you could develop, but going forward, he's fast, good on the ball, he's direct, he can whip a ball in. Very old school fullback, but also with some attacking verve.
In your mind, do you sort of, if I were to say Ashley Young, how would you compare him?
I think pretty similarly, I'd say, because I do think some of the best fullbacks in the world are failed wingers. And it's not me being derogatory towards failed wingers, but if you look at Antonio Valencia, one of the best right backs in the Premier League, when he was playing at right back, Looking at someone like Jordi Alba, for example.
Mm.
Looking at Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's central midfielder. Fullbacks, the modern fullback is evolving from the central midfield and from the positions on the wing. So, you know, Serginho Dest, probably not in great form, but technically one of the best fullbacks on the planet. So, having that, using that mould, I could see PSG as a right wing back, as a fullback in the future. So, keep your eyes peeled if my prediction comes true.
You've got a good track record so far. Just quickly before we go back to that Portugal prediction, I did want to bring up the brave soul who ran on as a pitch invader, and ran 90 metres across the pitch waving a rainbow flag. Obviously, Qatar's the World Cup's issues with the One Love armbands, and with the comments from the FIFA president Gianni Infantino. Have been well documented over the last couple of weeks. And we've seen some people taking a stand. We've seen Alex Scott,
yep,
wearing the One Love armband, doing her punditry. We saw the Germany team covering their mouths in an apparent protest at being silenced by FIFA.
It's slightly ironic that they went and lost to Japan after that. But,
But yeah, the pitch invader got caught by security and taken off. And normally I don't like to give publicity to them because it shouldn't be something that happens. And you've got to be really careful with these things about, you know, treading a fine line.
He's going to get banned for life. So
yeah,
ultimately I don't agree with pitch invasions, period. So,
no, I'll at least give him that he waited for a break in play to do it. But even, you know, it feels dangerous saying that, oh, this pitch invader was justified, because then someone else will run on with a flag and you'll say, oh, that wasn't justified. And they'll turn around and say, well, you said this was justified. And, you know,
I think the only pitch invaders who are justified is if it's a little kid. And he wants to get a photo. I'm saying little kid. I mean sub 10 years old.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean I'd go even younger than that. I'd say sub like 8.
And if he's coming onto the pitch to try and get a photo or something, security have to obviously be gentler. Yeah. With
I will say that's still terrible parenting.
Terrible parenting, but still, you can't wrestle back an eight or a ten year old. I mean that's anyway. What's your South Korea-Portugal prediction?
I've got, again, before match day two, I predicted South Korea to win this 1-0.
oh dear.
By the way, we'll bring this up when we record the full episode on Friday, but kudos for your South Korea-Ghana prediction.
Wait, what?
Because you got it spot on.
What was it? 3-2?
3-2 Ghana.
Let's go.
I was stunned that you got both.
You should have said kudos
right
to your South Korea-Ghana prediction. Get it?
Nope.
Mohamed Kudus scored two goals.
Yep, that'd do it.
I'd probably be red carded by my mates for that joke. But
but yeah, I honestly at this point I do think Portugal will win, but stubborn pride means I'm not going to change my prediction. So I've got 1-0, and if nothing else, it creates another point of difference. So
Ghana Uruguay, the grudge match of 2010.
Yes.
I'm going to say, I'm going to go 3-2 Ghana. I originally had a 2-1 Uruguay prediction, but I'm going 3-2 Ghana. I think Kudus will be the best player on the pitch. That's a bold prediction if you've ever heard one. I think watch out for Kamal Dean Sulemana if he comes on. Absolutely wonderful player, plays for Ren, left winger. Used to play in Denmark before. But I think Kudus has been really impressive this season, and Ajax fans have been raving about him as well. Definitely do better than the Everton move he got linked with in the summer. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Your Ghana Uruguay prediction.
I think you're Ghana. I think Uruguay are going to make changes from the Portugal match because they were really poor. And I think they're going to make changes. I think Palistri is going to start. I'd like Nunez to start. I don't think Suarez did offer something when he came on. He just didn't take his chance. It was a tough one, but he didn't take it.
I think Darwin did start against Darwin Nunez did start, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he started against Portugal, yeah. And I thought he was Uruguay's best player for a long time. I thought Valverde only really came into the game when Pellistri came on. He suddenly had someone to try and hit with his passes. So I think they're not going to make that mistake again, and I think they're going to win this 3-1.
Fascinating. I do think back the Black Stars to get revenge against Uruguay after the Luis Suarez handball.
They do deserve it.
Serbia, Switzerland. Switzerland are my second team in my sweepstake. And hence why I've gone for a 2-1 Swiss victory.
Oh, you've changed.
I have.
Oh, okay.
I think Switzerland will be better than Serbia. I think they have a better rounded squad than Serbia. They have the best team defensively in qualifying. Obviously only lost 1-0 to Brazil thanks to Kazan Casemiro's wonderful strike, which ultimately took a deflection of Manuel Akanji. But I think the Swiss are...
It was barely a deflection, to be honest.
Barely, but deflection nonetheless. I think the Swiss are just better than the Serbs. Simply put, I think Tadic, Milinkovic, Savic, both Milinkovic Savages, and Vlahovic and Mitrovic are very, very good players. But I think Switzerland consistently across defence, midfield and attack will be better.
Mm. Do you know where we're at in Group G in terms of qualifications?
Brazil have qualified.
Brazil have qualified.
I believe, let's bring this up. Switzerland are in pole position. They have 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
Cameroon and Serbia have a point each. So if Switzerland draw and Cameroon beat Brazil, highly unlikely, Cameroon will go through. But if the Swiss beat Serbia and the Brazilians beat Cameroon, it'll be the top two will stay as is.
Mm.
And the other combination is if Serbia win and Cameroon win, it will be goal difference.
We start going to tie breaks at that point.
Yeah.
But
I don't see Cameroon beating Brazil.
No, so. I don't either. Spoilers. I've personally got Serbia to win this. I actually agree with everything you've said. I think the Swiss are a more consistent team. And I do think they've not played too badly this tournament. The only thing I would say is that I don't think Serbia have quite gelled yet. And I think in a game where they have to win to go through, I think they will go guns blazing because they have to. They've got no other choice, really.
The Swiss could hit them on the counter, though.
They could, yeah, and they're really good at hitting them on the counter as well.
I mean, if the Swiss have their time, if they have time on their side, that joke was inevitable, then I do see Switzerland winning it. Yeah. So.
But you've got 2-1 Switzerland, I've got 2-1 Serbia.
Fascinating. Cameroon, Brazil. I originally had 4-1 down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stick with it and go 4. Actually, I'm going to go 4-0.
You're going to go 4-0.
I think Brazil will keep yet another clean sheet. So they've kept 2 clean sheets. I thought Eder Militao at right back. I watched the last sort of 7 minutes of the game.
Mm.
So Eder Militao right back, obviously played there for São Paulo and Porto. He's a much better option than Danilo because he's more defensively secure and athletic. And generally a world-class player, in my opinion. He's gone from being reserved to Ramos and Varane and now really holding his own in that squad. I'd also say that, yeah, Brazil attacking depth is amazing. I do think, will we see Neymar? I don't think so.
They shouldn't need him for this, should they?
They shouldn't. I would start Rodrigo ahead of Lucas Paquetá, if I'm being honest. I would also start Bruno Guimarães ahead of Fred. I thought Rodrigo was really, really bright. I think Rodrigo in that free 10 space behind Richarlison, who I think deserves to start. And I would actually put Antony instead of Rafinha. I'm not being impressed by Rafinha this season.
Only thing I'd say on Brazil team selection is because they've already qualified, I don't think they can get overtaken by Switzerland, can they?
They cannot, no.
Because they won the head-to-head.
Head-to-head and goal difference.
Yeah. So if they've got top spot cemented already, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a few squad changes. to prevent suspensions if they are, if any are looming, or more likely to prevent more injuries.
True. This is where, as I was clamouring, I would have liked to see Endrick, the teenage sensation, 16-year-old from Palmeiras. This is where I would have liked to see Endrick ahead of someone like Pedro or Everton Ribeiro, both from Flamengo in their mid-30s. Just because if you give Endrick a game, you can really see, you know, what he's made of. And ultimately, if we take comparisons to a 17-year-old Ronaldo Nazario, but Ronaldo Nazario was far ahead of his development physically. Yeah. In at USA 94. But just to get the experience of being at a World Cup.
Mm.
But Chiche hasn't taken Endrick. So I could see Gabriel Jesus starting.
Yeah.
I could see Martinelli starting. But I would play Rodrigo.
I mean, it's a good position to be in, to have the luxury of being able to just give minutes to players. Even if he chooses to do that, though, I still think Brazil have got too much for Cameroon. That's no disrespect towards Cameroon. I really don't think they're a bad side. But Brazil are Brazil. There's a reason they were the pre-tournament favourites.
I think they've been the standout team alongside France. I think France probably look a bit more impressive, but I think Brazil have kept two clean sheets.
Mm. I think France have played close to their potential already. I think Brazil's actually still have a way to go to reach their potential.
I think, fascinatingly, Chiche's put the handbrake on in the first half, where they've sort of been controlling the game, not sort of, trying to control the game. And in the second half, they're more of a second half team.
Mm.
And the second half is when they, you know, create chances and play in the true O Jogo Bonito way. The beautiful game, as the Brazilians dubbed it. So,
but I do agree with you. I think Brazil have got this comfortably. I do have your original prediction, though. I've got 4-1.
Amazing. So those are our match day 3 predictions, guys. Do make your own. We are hoping to start in the future or near future, a possible predictions website that we could come up with, where you can get your predictions in and compare it to ours. So that's been O Jogo Bonito. I was going to say 9.5 O Jogo Bonito Plus, for example.
This is the bonus episode.
The bonus episode. So, yeah, take care and thanks for listening.